Coming up on show 1177, Elon Musk is in Germany and talking about Giga Berlin starting to produce cars this October. Stick around. More details coming up. Also on the show today, we're looking at a reduction in the EV tax credit in the US. Well, sort of. It's a weird one. We'll dig into that. We have the BYD Tang arriving in Norway, and we have a Dutch startup that wants to make little itty-bitty diddly solar EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 13th of August. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with news of Foxconn beginning to build electric vehicle factories around the world. We'll start with the US and Thailand, and it'll be next year. Of course, Foxconn, very famous for being an Apple supplier and assembler of Apple products, hoping to be operational by 2023 if the factories start being built in 2022, this report from Nikkei Asia says. Foxconn will use the US plant to build vehicles, not just batteries, for their client, Fisker, and there could be potential to expand their service to, oh, I don't know, a certain company that likes to make mobile phones, which uses them. Apple is widely reported to be working on their own car, says MacRumors.com, and of course looking for third parties to help them launch the Apple car. One report talked about Foxconn as a potential candidate for producing the Apple car. Others talked about the suppliers coming from South Korea. Well, Foxconn has ruled out a Mexico location because they're in negotiations with three states in the US, and these include Wisconsin, which also agreed with Foxconn to amend some former plans about investing $10 billion. That promise was made back in 2017. So it's not the first time Foxconn have said, hey, we're going to build in the US on US soil. They've got form in saying that. Let's hope this time they properly follow through and we see those factories, because more car factories, more cars, that's what we want. Okay, we'll talk about NIO launching a low-priced model for the mass market. We don't know what it is yet, but they do plan to develop this car as part of their electrification strategy. The Chinese company said that the brand is now focusing on more affordable models to be launched, but didn't disclose any details such as when the first model would hit the market or even any more details about it. But of course, NIO, a massive name in EVs, and if they say they're going to make an affordable mainstream car that could be sold around the world, that's really important. Next, we'll talk about the US Senate putting a $40,000 cap on the price of the EV tax credit in the US. The Senate voting to approve a non-binding resolution setting a $40,000 threshold on the price of EVs that would be eligible for the tax credit. So this isn't law or anything like that. This is a resolution. It's more like you agreeing to see your friends at the weekend. You know, you often say, yeah, I'll catch up with you. But then nearer the time, I don't know, anything like me, you're on the sofa watching some football. It might not actually happen. However, so this is just, you know, it's like saying, hey, if we did vote on this in the future at some point, how would you guys vote? So that's what this is. As part of the new federal budget, the US Senate approved an amendment introduced by Senator Deb Fischer to introduce a limit on the price of EVs eligible for the $7,500 federal tax credit, and that price is $40,000 for eligibility. And of course, it is the tax credit, not a subsidy off the price of the car. And also, any buyers with an income of less than $100,000 would be able to apply. So what you're doing is, I kind of get that if it's people earning more than 100 grand, you probably don't need any financial help. But also, by setting the price so low, okay, $40,000 isn't so low, but bear with me, by going for more affordable cars, you are trying to say, hey, look, we want to get more affordable cars on the roads. But equally, a lot of people who are going to be buying more inexpensive cars wouldn't even have a federal tax bill of $7,500. And if they do have a low tax bill, they're exactly the kind of people who don't have the amount of money to kind of sub the government, if you like, because it's money off next year's bill. You want money off tax bill, rather. You want money off the car now when you buy it, not a kind of, well, hey, I can loan you the cash for a bit, government, and then I'll get it back in the future kind of thing. So the timing of the effort to limit access to the EV incentive for cars over 40 grand is also a bit weird, because the Biden administration has made really clear they plan to reform the program anyway. That'll be done by the end of the year. So we're in August now. It just seems really odd, and it seems like a waste of time. But let's not try and work out what goes through the minds of politicians. Even if it was voted for, wouldn't be in effect for very long before the Biden administration tears it all apart and does more things with subsidies. But either way, bad news for anyone that makes cars over 40 grand, and very good news for those that make slightly more affordable EVs, because they would still get at least some degree of incentive. Audi are expanding their EV charge card service in the UK to include more charging points. They've widened their one card charging service to 75% of our public fast charging network. 17,500 charge points now included. Well, the service, which allows customers to charge at charging points for a fixed subscription and then a set cost, I'll get into that in a minute, previously applied to certain Ionity charging stations, but now it has BP Pulse, the old Chargemaster network, Podpoint, Source London, and 19 others. According to autocar.co.uk, one of the tariffs is called the City tariff. If you buy an Audi, you can subscribe to this. It'll be aimed at those who drive in urban areas. It's about £5 a month on the subscription, and what that does is it buys you standardised rates. 29 pence per kilowatt hour for standard charging, 39 pence per kilowatt hour for fast charging, and on a Ionity station that charges at 350, it'll cost you 70 pence per kilowatt hour. Hey, if I'm honest with you, this is a dog's dinner. It's just awful. The idea of firstly subscribing to something and then only that getting you access to certain rates, it's just all nonsense. Turn up to a charger, wave your bank card at it, and it just starts charging. Like the GridServe electric highway, which is 30 pence per kilowatt hour, which I think is a freaking bargain for how fast some of those charges are since they bought the electric highway. Ionity is expensive. I don't have an issue with it being 70 pence or more per kilowatt hour, because they're quick and they're good. Most of them work pretty well in good locations as well. But then the idea of buying an Audi, then getting a charge card, then subscribing for a monthly fee, and all that really does is get you standardised rates. Then you've got to know when you turn up what you're going to be paying, because, well, is this a standard charger or a fast charger? Or is it a fast charger or a faster charger? Ah, come on. Look, I mean, I'm a nerd, and I'm walking up to chargers going like, oh, this is a new 200 amp unit, so I'll only pull 80 kilowatts from it, right? And that's me. I get pleasure out of being that nerdy with EVs. Nobody else does. So this is ridiculous. I mean, pointless. If you do it, more power to you, but that's a waste of time. And all the car makers are doing it, by the way. They want like a little card that comes with the car, so when their customers pick up their new EV, they're like, oh, we've got a charging network of 20,000 stations. No, you haven't. You've pulled together others, but anyway. Next, we'll talk about the BYD Tang. It's an SUV, and it's being launched in Norway today. BYD and their local distributor, they're called RSA, today launch the BYD Tang in Norway, in the city of Oslo, in the capital. A launch event is being held to celebrate the first 100 Tangs off the ship and getting towards their vehicle owners. According to Electric Cars Report, BYD's first consignment of passenger cars for Norway is only the start of their what they call European dream. Big strategy play to move into Europe. Going to be 1,500 of the units in Norway by the end of the year. Plenty more coming. The Tang, by the way, is a quite a tasty, pardon the pun, little car, actually. Quite a big car. 86.4 kilowatt hour blade battery. That's the one that you can puncture, shoot it with the gun, won't explode. Very stable technology. You go to 80% in 30 minutes. It'll DC fast charge at 110 kilowatts. So not the fastest, but how fast do you want to go? Game-changing, ultra-safe blade battery, they say, has 400 kilometres WLTP range, 0 to 62 miles an hour in 4.6 seconds, which is rapid. It's a seven-seater. It's got a 13-inch rotatable touchscreen. It's got 12 loudspeakers, 31-colour ambient lighting system, ventilated leather seats, and wireless phone charging, and lots more as well. That's a little premium car, is this. Only thing I couldn't find out today is the price, but I will carry on looking when I have a bit more time. On the way very soon, we'll be talking about a two-seat solar EV for car-sharing purposes and going off-grid when your EV rallying. Stick around, we'll talk about those in a second. First of all, headline story today, and Elon Musk is inviting you to go and have a look at Tesla Giga Berlin. Elon Musk on Friday invited residents and indeed the general public to take a tour of Tesla's new Gigafactory outside of Giga Berlin. Giga Berlin will be open to the general public very soon, and I would love to go and have a look round, but I don't fancy driving to Berlin, to be honest with you. I'm sure plenty of the hardcore fans will do so, and there'll be a few YouTube videos which I can consume from the comfort of my own home. The billionaire announced the Gigafactory tour on the same day that he met with German leaders and visited the site. During his trip, he said he hopes Tesla will start producing cars at the factory in October. Says a Reuters report picked up by BusinessInsider.com. Well, Insider says the Gigafactory was supposed to open on July 1st, but environmental activists, permit delays, and lizards on the site put its opening date behind schedule. Now there's arguments over water and the factory, not just because it's Tesla, it's not a Tesla thing, it's I think just local residents and environmental groups are looking at industry in the area and ensuring that the groundwater isn't polluted. Tesla is waiting for the green light from Brandenburg's environmental authorities to open the site. And yeah, okay, so Elon may be the richest person in the world, but I'm still unconvinced that he can steamroller the Germans in the way that the Chinese were. Very accommodating. It was Chinese banks that gave him the money for Giga Shanghai. It was massive Chinese labor, of course, that just put this factory up in no time. Well, it was a year to the day from groundbreaking to that weird dad dancing event that he did. But Germany, so different. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2022 till that starts operating. And I get no pleasure saying that because I'd really like a right-hand drive Model Y. Please, Mr. Musk, I would have long-range rear-wheel drive. Actually, that'd be my spec, please. Next, a Dutch startup is putting car sharing in a new light. The company are called Squad Mobility, and they want to roll out very small battery electric vehicles for use in the city, they say. It's got rooftop solar panels, it's a two-seater, has swappable batteries, and it's a solar quadricycle, so not even a car, which means you can avoid a bunch of regulations. Rather than making a car, they're making a quadricycle. The vehicle is 4 feet wide, 5 feet tall, 6.5 feet long, and its small size means you can drive around cities and park three of them in one parking space. And you might be overtaken by a few cyclists because the top speed is 28 miles an hour. Next, we'll go to Colorado. And an EV company there is making the news with a $850 million deal. I transposed those two numbers. Lightning E-Motors, which designs and builds EVs for commercial fleets, has struck a deal worth $850 million to provide electric powertrains for shuttle buses made by a Berkshire Hathaway company, says the Denver Post.com today. The size of the new deal has the potential to galvanize other commercial vehicle manufacturers and fleets and speed up the adoption of EVs. Lightning E-Motors will build the powertrains for 7,500 shuttle buses in their Loveland plant. David Wright is the president of Forest Rivers Bus Divisions and saying today this will be a game changer for shuttle bus operators to go all electric. The agreement calling for two companies that we talked about to produce shuttle buses seating between 12 and 33 passengers. Lightning E-Motors already do business with the likes of Amazon, DHL and IKEA. We'll talk about IKEA very soon on the podcast. I think that's going to be a story for tomorrow, actually. They've got some electric stuff coming their way. But finally, we know that towing is a bit of an enemy of electric vehicles. It's not even the weight, really. It's about the big slab of caravan you're trying to pull through the air. Well, a new teardrop camper is called the Boulder. And it's a family-owned camper manufacturer called Colorado Teardrops. So yes, based in Boulder, hence the name. Naturally, the company is trying to maximize the range by focusing on aerodynamics. And this does look like it's going to slice through the air very, very well. They use lightweight materials as well. By focusing on ergonomics and a small footprint, the Boulder, they say, offers an enjoyable way to see the great outdoors and also get more range out of your EV. According to Clean Technica, the Boulder comes with a insulated hard shell cabin. It'll have beds for a family of four, a queen size mattress and bunk beds, a dining lounge with couches. It's got electric, it's got a kitchen, got a galley in the back, hot water shower and climate controls as well. Plus, it is shaped to cut through the air much better than anything else you might be towing. So again, maybe eking out a few extra crucial miles of range, especially if you're doing some elevation as well. Both things really are the enemy of electric vehicles. That is great that companies like that are thinking about things like this. Right, question of the week on Sunday, the Sunday show. We'll do a bonus one because it's been a busy week. A bonus show on Sunday. We will do only question of the week answers, talking about on a scale of 1 to 10, where the environment fits for you in terms of your EV journey. My email address for that and anything else is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. Oh, and of course, the sponsors of our question of the week. How can I forget? emobilitynorway.com with Jan and the team. Hey, have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.